it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Making Monsters. I'm Taylor Dahl, that's Dylan Ryan, and if you've been following along recently, you know we are doing a mini podcast series on potential draft picks that the Chicago Bears could take at 9. We're not talking about like further into the draft. We have over a month to kind of figure out in depth of what we're going to do with all of the rest of the 9 picks that we have at this moment. But right now, after the trade came in with DJ Moore and we officially found out you have 9, obviously that alters some things, because before you were kind of hoping that if it was the Colts or the Texans, you could get Will Anderson. That was the pretty obvious and clear choice. Now at 9, you're not getting Will Anderson. That's not happening. Jalen Carter, on the other hand, might fall.
He's trying his hardest.
which we'll get to that also. But today, some videos came out of Jalen Carter's pro day at Georgia, and they didn't look so good. So that's going to be an interesting topic for the next couple weeks to see really what is going on with Jalen Carter. And we also have a Georgia episode coming up anyways, so we'll address all of that at that time. But another hot topic is David Montgomery is heading to the Detroit Lions, and that's breaks my heart.
Terrible. And like breaks for a steal heart. Of a number, $6 million a year for 3 years.
It makes me mad because I said I didn't see Monty trying to like fleece somebody. I was like, there's no way he's trying to get like $10 million out of the Bears. Like, I just didn't believe it. And he didn't, like, if he's going to the Lions, there had to have been something. There's something behind the scenes we're not seeing, whether it be Ryan Poles isn't high on David Montgomery, and Ryan Poles is, and we've kind of seen that, like, Ryan Poles does what Ryan Poles wants to do.
I was going to say, he has no problem being like, dude, like, I don't want to pay you. Like,
and like, He did it to Roquan.
He did it to Montgomery. And, like, those are, like, Montgomery's number was fair.
Yeah.
It was incredibly fair. Roquan's was definitely a little bit on the higher side of stuff you wanted to give him.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, insane by any means. So the thing that kind of bothers me a little bit, though, is Poles pretty publicly was like, we're trying to bring David back.
Yeah.
We love David.
Was he lying to us?
And like, if you took a $6 million a year deal with a division rival, did you really try to bring him back?
Yeah,
probably not.
That's why I think there's something else behind that. And with the Roquan situation, obviously, when they signed T.J. Edwards, that deal was super, super fair. And then some people kind of freaked out over the
Tremaine Edmonds one,
and I get it because you know people love Roquan. Roquan was probably one of my probably, if not my favorite draft pick outside of Justin Fields in a long time. I loved Roquan Smith. The problem is you can pretty clearly, Ryan Poles is the king of the Chicago Bears. And if he doesn't like a situation, he is not going to cave into you. I appreciate that. I don't want to personally have a GM who's like, oh, okay, we'll give you whatever you want because you're going to cry and you're going to sit out and you're not going to come to practice. We saw how it went with Tevin.
I was going to say, go back to Tevin like, stuff in the summer. Like,
yeah.
he didn't budge. He's like, dude,
nope.
You're going to play right guard if you want to play.
You're playing right guard or you're not going to be on the Chicago Bears, pretty
exactly.
much. And he did the same thing with Roquan. He didn't budge during the offseason. Roquan came back, started practicing. He stayed here for a little bit and then whined when they traded him. And I'm like, bro, you were the one who didn't want to be here. And you said all offseason that you wanted a deal or you didn't want to be here. You requested a trade, and Ryan Poles said, okay, all right, we'll figure this out. So fast forward now that Tremaine Edmonds, which to me, it's $30 million less than Robert Quinn's as like a whole $2 million less yearly. And Roquan, yes, is probably better, but not extremely better.
We have three good linebackers for the price of one.
One,
linebacker.
Exactly. We're getting three good ones.
And one of them is
the
not
price of one,
much worse than Roquan.
And that fit Flusa's scheme way better.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. And people, I don't think, understand that Roquan was just, and we mentioned this in the beginning of last season. I'm getting kind of off topic here, but like how much he doesn't, like, what are we really going to do with Roquan? Because it doesn't really fit what Flus does and in the system that we saw with the Colts. And we saw last year, Roquan didn't quite look like himself most of the games. And it was probably because he wasn't playing the way that he's used to playing. The Bears switched from that 3-4 to 4-3, and that shifts a lot of things. But Anyways, so we are here now to talk about another player. And like I mentioned, we're going to go through these. It's just kind of a quick little, all right, here's the player. Here's what they're good at. Here's what they're bad at. Here's what their personality is like.
Quick rundown of what you should expect out of them, you know, personality-wise, play-wise, all those things.
Yes, so. Exactly. So anyways, this, because of the David Montgomery news that recently came out, we feel like maybe we have to talk about a running back, because now what are the Bears going to do? Obviously, you want to say Khalil Herbert's running back one right now, and you don't feel like you're taking a massive leap back. I like Khalil Herbert. I think Khalil Herbert's very successful, and a lot of the things he does, other than blocking, that's one issue that we really have with Khalil Herbert. So that's going to be an issue, but you can't, the way that a lot of the NFL leagues are going now, those having two backs really helps. Having a back who can also pass catch, Khalil Herbert is also not great at that, from what we've seen. But maybe he hasn't had to be. I don't know. We'll see. But I feel like we have to talk about a running back. So we talked to Anwar Richardson. He is a reporter for Texas Football. And if you don't know by now what name I'm about to say, then you haven't been paying much attention, because his name is Bijan Robinson, and he's incredible.
Awesome. Incredible. He's the best running back I've seen out of college since Saquon, I think, pretty easily. Something else I think it's important to mention is we recorded this before David officially moved on.
Yeah.
We were under the assumption he would be gone at this point.
Yeah.
We did not know where and by how much. So yeah. If we don't seem as upset.
The interview part of this.
Yes, the recording or the recording of the interview.
That, yes.
If we don't seem as upset, that's why.
Yeah, so. Because we did not know David Montgomery was officially gone yet. We do mention in it like he's probably going to be gone. And what's funny is before we hit record on this interview, we were Anwar was kind of asking us, so hold on, like, I thought you guys had a pretty good run game in Chicago, whatever. And we were like, well, we did, you know, like, we had the most rushing yards in the league last season. But thanks to Justin Fields, over 1,000 of that was Justin. But David Montgomery did have a good year, but David Montgomery's probably going to be gone. And he was like, oh, average. Did you hear me how many times
he
said that?
I heard him say that. I was like, oh, okay. Average.
I just kind of slid
no,
by
No, I was
it.
Like, fine. I took a couple shots at Texas throughout there as well. So like, I'm not going to be like, you know, all mad about it. But he said average, and I was like, oh, okay.
And
whatever.
Like multiple times, I was like, oh,
not
okay.
To mention like, you know, Iowa State, I think when David Montgomery was there, they beat Texas once or twice. So, you know, no big deal.
Which, by the way, I'm still mad about your Iowa State people, because nobody, they're the only people that did not reply to me about a player interview. And it was like no media, no player, no former coach,
see,
nobody.
They're out in an island in the middle of the corn. It's hard to get messages out there. You know, it's difficult.
So we never even got to do our David Montgomery episode because no one from Iowa State wanted to get back. Anyway, so yeah, let's go ahead and jump into this interview. It's about Bijan Robinson. Like I said, fantastic player. We have questions about taking a running back at 9, and I think most people do. But I also have seen a lot of chatter, especially after the David Montgomery stuff became official, that's like, time to get Bijan, because this guy can do it all. So let's go ahead and jump to that interview with Anwar Richardson from University of Texas. All right, now we're joined by Anwar Richardson. He is former Bucks and Lions and NFL reporter. Now he covers University of Texas football for orangebloods.com. And so thanks so much for jumping on with us. Obviously, if anybody's listening to this podcast by me saying Texas, they probably know that this episode's about to be about Bijan Robinson, because that is an incredible running back that is coming out of Texas right now. We've talked about him a lot all year in the college football world in general, and now we are talking about him heading into the draft. So, Anwar, let's get into Bijan a little bit. Backtrack. 5-star recruit coming out of high school. He set a state record in Arizona after he rushed for 7,036 yards and 114 touchdowns in high school. So I think it's safe to say this kid looked like primed to be a stud back from the start when he was heading into college. But he did pretty much earn immediate playing time as a freshman in 2020. What were your first thoughts when you were seeing Bijan out on that football field as a running back?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, you know, when we walked away thinking to yourself, why does he not touch the ball more? Like, because you always saw it, you saw flashes of it, but the previous staff, they were really trying to help groom him and come, you know, wanted him to come along slowly, didn't want to really throw him in the fire. Stan Drayton was his running backs coach. He, as you guys know, you know, he's obviously former NFL running backs coach, and he's currently at Temple. But that was his guy. They really was trying to bring him along slowly. It's funny when you asked me about that. One of Bijan's first games was scary as hell. He played against Texas Tech, and Bijan made the he was doing that thing where all these kids, they want to jump over somebody and leap over someone. Well, he did that, and he actually landed on his neck.
Oh.
And the way it twisted, I thought in the moment, I thought I just maybe saw a guy die. Like, I literally just thought this guy just died on the field. And he laid down there for a while, and I just thought to myself, like, this just happened. And he was eventually able to get off. He actually only ended up missing, like, a week or so. And then, so then I started thinking, like, this guy prays a lot. Like, so this guy might be really in the tomb of God for him to be able to walk away from that. If you got a second, go ahead and like look up that you know, Bijan Robinson neck Texas Tech injury.
Okay.
And you'll say to yourself, like, how scary that thing was. But that was kind of my initial impression was, okay, please never do that again. and then two, can he get the ball more? And that was him, like, you know, essentially, if you just want to do a singular topic of his freshman year, that kind of was like the start of it.
Wow. I haven't seen that video, so I'm going to have to look. Even though those injuries do scare me, we've seen them, you know, you see them through the NFL as you're watching games sometimes, and it's just that moment when you cringe and you're like, oh, that didn't look good. So I props to him for getting up and being able to play a couple games later. That shows some toughness to me.
Couldn't agree with you more.
It definitely does. I'm gonna, in fact, while you guys are, while you set up your next question, I'm gonna see if I can send this to you on a DM so you can see it in real time.
Oh, I'm sure it's as wonderful and terrifying as you described it. So something I've really been noticing is in the NFL today, and even in college football as well, the workhorse running back is really not a thing anymore. You have a lot of guys who split carries these days. At Texas, Bijan was not splitting carries without anyone. Last year, he had 258 carries, used him quite a bit, going up from 195 the year before. Do you think that there should be some fans that have a little bit of concern that maybe he's only 21, but he still has got a lot of tread on those tires already?
No, I mean, like, so there's a couple of things. Like, you know, so, you know, while you said, you guys mentioned, like, he played as a freshman, he only had, like, 86 carries at that point. So this is a, you know, now Steve Sarkisian takes over for him in 2021. And, you know, and Steve Sarkisian believes kind of in the workhorse back when Steve Sarkisian was at Alabama. You know, he had Najee Harris. You know, Najee had, you know, 251 carries in 2020 for, you know, 1,400 yards, 26 touchdowns. And in 2019, Najee had 209, you know, for 1,200 yards, 13 touchdowns. So I think, you know, that, you know, so Bijan, as you're talking about, he's at 195, you know, as a sophomore, 258 as far as carries as a junior. I, you know, that's a good number of carries, but I don't think he didn't take a huge beating as a freshman where you would say to yourself, okay, this has been a guy who's been getting pounded and like this for the last 4 years, probably been only the last 2 years. So I wouldn't worry about that. He's got good, you know, good strength, good versatility. I think the thing you would focus in on the most is that Bijan actually worked. They wanted him to become a better pass catcher and be more of involved in that aspect of the offense. And so when you look at him in 2021, you know, he, you know, in addition to the 1,100 yards that he had from as a running back, he also had 295, you know, receiving yards and 4 touchdowns. You know, in 2022, it's 314 and 2. So you're able to see a guy that was able to, you know, put near 2,000 yards of offense, what is it, 30 or so touchdowns, something to that effect. And my math is off the cuff. So I think overall, from a work usage standpoint, he's been pretty good. He's been pretty healthy, you know, here while at Texas. So he's not a guy that you got to worry about, like, he's had, you know, he was recovering from a bunch of different injuries. So I think those things are not, you know, I don't think, and I wouldn't put that as a worry as relates to him or anything as relates to his game. I wouldn't worry about that.
Okay, that's good to hear. And I just watched that video. I do not think a body should bend that way in any form.
Your head should not be touching the back of your back.
And your mid-back. That should not happen. You just touched on some of the numbers that he had, obviously, last year. And you also mentioned the receiving yards, which is also kind of leads to my next question, because His number steadily increased over the three seasons and pretty much every single statistic. But when I look at the numbers from last year, it really made me fall in love with Bijan, because with the 1,575 yards, 18 touchdowns, he also had 19 receptions and 314 yards. So are you confident in that ability that he would be able to be used in the backfield but also in the receiving game in the NFL?
Yeah, I think the versatility is going to be there's two things I think NFL teams are going to fall in love with as it relates to Bijan, and I'll tie it into the Bears here as well. So, you know, there's going to be a versatility aspect where you're going to have a guy who can run between the tackles. So, you know, he's not a guy that, you know, you see a lot of guys, they just want to pop to the outside, go outside of the tackles. Like, he's a guy that understands the importance of running in between there, a patient runner, but then smart, and then knows how to like turn on the burners. You know, he's had some really good runs. So once he gets past that first level, and then you start seeing him operate, you know, he knows how to elude the linebacker. And then at that point, you know, he's you know, he knows how to get that, you know, the foot race there at that point. Now versus, you know, clearly versus NFL DBs who are going to be faster, I don't necessarily see Bijan outrunning all of those guys. I don't know. That's going to be the strength of his game. But you will definitely see a guy who will be able to accumulate, you know, a lot of, you know, really good yards, solid yards, be able to move the chain, but then be able to work in the passing game, which will definitely help a guy like, you know, Justin Fields to take a little bit of a workload off of him. I think that – so you know, the teams are going to love that. The thing that to me is going to be the X factor, and this is going to be my biggest prediction as relates to Bijan, is there's going to be a team that falls in love with him, because as good of a player as he is, he's actually an amazing human being. Like, he's one of those people, I don't know if you've ever run across somebody in life that makes you think, like, man, I don't know if I'm as good of a person as you are. And this is that, and it's a cliche, because people always use cliche, he's a better, you know, human being than he is a player. And so it sounds like it's all cliches and stuff at some point. But he really, really, really is a tremendous human being. He really is a person that cares about people. I'll give you, some examples. I can think of something like when he decided when he was going to go pro, and he had a press conference, you know, after the season to announce that he was going to go pro. One of the things he said in his press conference, you guys will appreciate this because you guys have been in the media forever, you know, and not to say it from an age perspective, but I just mean you've been doing it for a while. One of the things he decided to do is he goes, hey, you know, towards the end, he goes, listen, I just want to thank all of you guys for covering me. Uh-huh. I want to thank you guys for all the positive stories that you guys have written about me and about the program and putting us out there in a positive light. And I just want to thank you guys, you know, for everything that you've done. Then Bijan at that point then goes and shakes every media, Austin media member's hands. He's shaking hands. He's dapping them up. He's giving people bro hugs. Everything to that effect. And I, you know, how often do you see someone just thank us for what we do?
Not often.
You know, not often enough, that's for sure.
Typically what we get is the crap for, well, I don't appreciate what you said or anything to that effect. But no, he was very, you know, always very active as far as like community stuff, charity work. You know, he was always someone that, you know, would be trying to do, you know, donate money whenever things were going on in the Austin area. I think he did something where he helped raise money for kids to have backpacks, you know, to go to school. Mm-hmm. I believe it was like in 2002. And now, Matt, we got to understand, like, this is a college kid.
Yeah.
You know, in the NFL, you have to do these things for your nonprofit status, right?
Yeah.
But this is what he just kind of did out of his own heart. And the last thing, just because, you know, to show what kind of person he is and how he was loved by the entire, you know, law court community, at the very end of the game, the last game of the season, which I think it was Baylor, the entire stadium starts chanting Bijan, 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 Bijan. Like, that's how loved he is. Yeah, he also had his own mustard.
Before we started
this interview, I kept saying to her, yes, I was like, I just can, when I hear Bijan Robinson's name, the first thing I think is mustard. I can't not do it. And I
Hey,
you know what's popular in Chicago, Anwar, is Chicago dogs. So we may need some Bijan mustard on the Chicago dogs coming up.
So I think what's going to happen in the interview process, I think when NFL GMs and teams, they start doing their due diligence and they start sitting down with him, I think it's going to be one of those I fell in love with him kind of thing moments. And I think someone will just, everyone's going to say running backs are supposed to go in a certain way. You don't have to value running backs, so on and so forth. But I'm telling you and I'm promising you, someone's going to think he's such a tremendous human being that they're going to throw that out the window. And they're just going to be like, you know, the person that just starts dating someone and a month later they propose because they just think like, I'm in love. I think that's what's going to happen. But I just don't think it'll be as bad or destructive of a relationship.
Yeah,
as that.
I will say,
one month would be.
Luckily for Bijan, during his time at Texas, I don't know about luckily, but he was one of the few things that was there consistently able to love. So I'm sure he got quite a bit of praise. Something I've noticed about Bijan, though, throughout this whole draft process is like, it feels like amongst, you know, the big industry names, he is pretty consensually agreed upon as the most talented running back to come out since Saquon. Saquon was the second pick in his draft. I've seen some draft boards saying that he's the best player in this class, second best player in this class. Yet you see him go in places like middle of the first. I remember at the beginning of the draft process, people were saying he was a second round pick. Why do you think there's so much variance in where he's getting drafted right now in terms of mock drafts?
Well, you know, the mock drafts, you know, as you guys always know, are a little bit interesting just because there's obviously it's always going to be with someone's opinion, you know, as relates to a mock draft. And, you know, the thing about mock drafts that you always got to remember is that usually by pick five, most of them are starting to blow up. You know, usually by pick seven or eight, most of them are destroyed. So, you know, I think there's always the mock drafts of what people say and what they believe. But, you know, you always got to remember that free draft process. You know, the teams are holding things close to the vest. Like, we'll know what teams want to do at 1-3. Past that, it's usually kind of a shell game by there. But, you know, you guys are very familiar with Alabama's Will Anderson and what he was able to accomplish there. He was at the Combine, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, and he was asked, who's the toughest player that you've played against in your college career? And he said, Bijan Robinson. He's like the running back from Texas. He's like, we had a gang tackle him, get all hats to the ball. He's going to break a few tackles. But he goes, he's probably the toughest person I faced in college. That's the guy who played at the University of Alabama in the SEC. And you know what I'm saying?
And one potentially going number one overall or could go.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And that person said their toughest person, not anyone at Georgia, not anyone at Ole Miss or anything like that. It was Bijan who he felt like was their toughest task. So I think, you know, you're gonna see different things as far as the mock drafts are concerned, but you know, I would be surprised if it went outside of the first round. And I just my gut tells me there's enough film on him and enough good. Steve Sarkisian, I think, is well respected within NFL circles. Like, he'll get enough good recommendations where I definitely think by the time when the Bears are up there, my eyes will and ears will perk up. Just to see out of curiosity.
And the pick right after the Bears, I'm pretty sure, is the Eagles, and they definitely need a running back. So,
yeah, they just announced Miles Sanders is not coming back. Yeah, so
I can tell you every Cowboys fan is worried about that because those who
all those Texas fans are also Cowboys fans, I bet. So
yes, exactly. And it's kind of unfortunately, it's kind of similar fate. Which you have a big brand that sometimes doesn't achieve the highest heights.
Yeah, they think they deserve a little bit more than they get, actually. You know, it's Texas football. Football, yes. It's an NFL pro all the same, you know.
I'll tell you, Anwar, because I'm a softy, so when you were talking about, you're telling me all these great things about Bijan's personality, and obviously you say his play is going to be able to back up that the loveliness of who he is, but it's probably good that I am not a GM because I would have, like, a whole team of really nice guys and good stories, but I'm not quite sure how good my football team would be. A couple more for you before we let you go. Obviously, you mentioned Will Anderson talking about how hard he was to bring down at certain points and how tough of a player he was. So when you look at Bijan's strengths, a lot of the ones listed are speed, power, vision. A lot of people say when you are watching film or when you're reading about him, they say, you know, it is hard to bring him down. The yards after contact type of things, that he's that type of running back. But if you were to name his biggest strength on the football field, what would you say it is?
Great, great question. You know, I think one of the things that strikes me really, I think his vision is probably the thing that hits me the most, you know, and when you say vision, I'm like, we're talking a matter of like, you know, tenths of seconds, right? Mm-hmm. So we're talking about being able to make a split tenth of a section kind of thing. But him knowing exactly how to get through the holes, I think, is really impressive to me. I think that's probably his biggest strength. You know, he's also he's a powerful back. You know, I don't know what they have him listed as, probably like 215-ish or so. But I mean, he's very strong. I don't know if you've seen pictures of him. He's jacked. Now. Yeah. He's almost, again, it's the NFL. You're not going to be able to do little brother to everybody who you play in the NFL. Mm-hmm. But I think the vision is what he'll need. You know, from that, I think that's going to be one of his biggest strengths, I think. And then, you know, being able to, you know, being elusive with tacklers. Again, you know, when William Sanders talked about, you know, needing to gang tackle, that speaks to the elusiveness that he has. So I think vision, I think elusiveness, you know, will be there. And I think to speak to the third one, which will be something that off the field, but I think locker room presence, will be something. He's been one of the, you know, the captains, I think, for like the past 2 years, you know, here. And I think that he's always been a good locker room guy that everyone's enjoyed. So, you know, coachability, and, you know, not having, you know, there's something to be said that not having to worry about a guy's going to get in trouble when mm-hmm. you're going to invest this kind of money in him. I think those kind of factors, those three things kind of stand out, the two on the field and then at least the third one off the field.
And look, I love all of that because obviously in Chicago, we love our running backs in Chicago, number one. We're trying to figure out what it's like to have a quarterback, but we still like our running backs. And we
also like a running back.
Yeah. And then so we also like the good guys, and we're in the process right now of rebuilding something that got really messy for a while. So those good guys obviously add to that. So final one, Anwar, before we let you go, I'm not huge on comparisons because I really truly think that every athlete is their own person and their own player, and they have all their strengths and everything. But the two running backs that I have seen linked to comparisons of Bijan are Alvin Kamara and Josh Jacobs. Do either of those hit home for you, or is there a player you kind of see as a comparison?
Kamara could possibly do that, I think, a little bit for me. I think of Josh Jacobs as a little bit bigger for me than, but, you know, Kamara, as far as that kind of you know, elusiveness, I would say so, ability to catch the ball. I would definitely, I think that's probably one of the, I probably like that one, now that you said that, probably a little bit better than Saquon, even though that seems to be the main one. But I would definitely go somewhere in there. I think Kamara is probably the fairest example, and one I think you would probably be really good to get away with. Yes.
Okay.
So I do actually have one last quick question. It has nothing to do with Bijan Robinson. It is a little bit Texas related, though. So starting quarterback, Texas football next season. Is it going to be Arch Manning? Is it going to be Quinn Ewers? Who are we thinking?
I think it's going to be Quinn Ewers. I think Arch Manning will probably end up being the number two guy. The plan has always been, from the Manning side of it, is they, you know, as people, they don't want to throw him in right away. They're about the development process. So I think they're around him, you know, getting that redshirt season then. The hope within the Texas coaches is that Quinn Ewers has a good enough season where he can go pro after the 2023. And then as Texas goes into the SEC in 2024, Arch would be the quarterback probably that can take him there. So, sit, hold tight on Arch. You know, the Mannings are not trying to rush this development process. I think it's Quinn this year. And then I think Arch is the guy in 2020.
Hey, I don't know. Sark said it was an open competition like a month ago or something. So who knows?
Yeah.
Hey,
but
all I know, Texas is back. Texas is going to be back. Arch is going to be the quarterback. They're going to be great.
He's not going to say it's a closed competition in March. Like, you got to keep guys working. And keep
hey,
guys
if
working,
Quinn Ewers was that good last year, you think he would have said it? That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
I know.
To your point. That's good. That's a fair point.
And I know Gator fans are not looking forward to another Manning in the SEC. So they're like, perfect timing. We have Texas coming to the SEC.
It'll be right as Texas is showing up. Arch will be getting there. So yeah, it's perfect.
All right. Well,
pretty good.
Thanks so much, Anwar. We really appreciate it. And we hope you enjoy the rest of your week and enjoy all your happy hours.
I'm definitely going to do that.
Get some of that Tito's.
Chicago weather.
All right.
All right, guys. You guys take care.
Thanks. You too. Bye-bye. All right. Thanks so much. He is absolutely hilarious, first of all. We caught him right after happy hour, so he might have been like a little extra happy.
Yeah, so you got some extra hot takes out there.
I love it, though. But yeah, I mean, I think that, Dylan, you and I have gone back and forth about this the last few days about how is it worth drafting a running back at 9? It's hard for me to justify not doing it if Bijan is the player that we think Bijan is, because it's not he's not going to be just used as a running back. He's going to be used in the receiving game. He's going to be able to block. He's going to be able to just make a difference on that, on the offense in general. But at the same time, I totally get people wanting to add an offensive lineman, especially because we've hardly addressed it. A defensive lineman, didn't address it at all so far. By the time this podcast is officially released, maybe we'll sign a defensive lineman. I don't know.
No one's really going to change the game for us that much.
Nobody that's left. It's going to be someone that maybe is like, okay, like he's decent. He'll get a few 4 sacks and, you know, like add to our 22 or whatever that we had at the bottom of the barrel last season. But you are very against a running back at 9.
Yeah, it's really hard for me today in the modern NFL to take a running back that high. I mean, if you look at the Super Bowl last year, neither of them had any running backs of really any real skill. I mean, Isaiah Pacheco is a fun running back. Miles Sanders.
He had a bomb year, though.
He was good, but like, was he like a game changer for them by any means? I don't really think so, no. Miles Sanders is a good running back who right now can't even find a team because he's so one-dimensional in terms of how he plays the game. So I just really feel like it isn't that important, not to mention Isaiah Pacheco was a mid-round draft pick.
Yeah.
Miles Sanders, same deal with him too. So it's very hard for me to justify taking a player that high. That being said, I think he's amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm by no means saying that I do think Bijan Robinson isn't going to be a bad NFL player. I think he's going to be arguably a top 10 running back as soon as he comes in the NFL.
Yeah.
But all that being said, there's only so much a running back can do for you. And when you have a chance to take a position like a lineman, a defensive lineman, or even a wide receiver who could change the game so much more for you, especially that high in the draft, it's really hard for me to do that because it is a lot easier to find later running backs in the draft where you can have similar levels of success.
Yeah,
maybe you're not getting Bijan Robinson, but you can get a guy that's 20% worse and for a third of the cost.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and I think that backtrack for a second, because obviously Pacheco doesn't have to be a factor because of a guy named Patrick Mahomes.
Exactly.
So that makes that easy. And then obviously on the other side too, with Jalen Hurts, I think Justin could have very similar stats to what Jalen Hurts did.
I think it's a great model to follow, for sure. Yeah.
And it's interesting actually, because we were going back and forth in our Windy City Gridiron little group chat earlier. Because EJ, I believe it was, posted a tweet. Let me get back up to this real fast. Oh, yeah. So EJ posted a tweet, and he was talking to all the Bear fans saying it's Bijan or bust. It's really not. Starting NFL running backs in the round they were drafted. So Mostert, undrafted. Ramondre Stevenson, round 4. Chubb, round 2. Damian Pierce, round 4. Pacheco, round 7. Eckler, undrafted. I forgot Eckler was an undrafted free agent. That is crazy.
He's backing up Melvin Gordon for a little bit there.
Yeah. Aaron Jones, round 5. Foreman, round 3. White, round 3. James Conner, round 3. So there's a list of all these guys that are pretty good. I don't love any of these running backs personally. Maybe Chubb, Pacheco, Eckler, obviously. Eckler and Chubb and Pacheco I really liked last season. Pierce really came on last season. But the rest, I don't love any of those. So to me, I'm like, I get it. Like, you can get an all right running back or a decent running back, but you're not going to get a Christian McCaffrey, a Saquon.
Those weren't all the running backs taken out of the first round, was it?
No, these are not first round.
Were those all the running backs taken outside of the first
round? No, those are just ones that he kind of was like going through.
Alvin Kamara, he was
starting
not
NFL running backs.
Yeah. So
when did Kamara go out?
He was probably like what, like?
He was around 1, right?
Yeah. No, he was. Oh, no, he wasn't. No, he was like around 4.
Oh,
I think 3 or 4, something like that.
Maybe because he's in a little bit of trouble right now. We're not including him. I don't know. But yeah, and then you look at when was Josh Jacobs the first round?
Josh Jacobs was either end of the first or beginning of the second. He was one of those guys.
Because I want to say, like, when you're looking at like Saquon, Jonathan Taylor, Christian McCaffrey,
but even Jonathan Taylor, was Jonathan Taylor top of the second too? I could be wrong.
And that's why I don't know exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you start to lose track. But when you look at the ones that sit, and that's what, because about a month ago, I went through and I was looking at the rushing yards for the season. Obviously, Derrick Henry, I just totally forgot to name that one, and that's a big one to name.
Very big one.
When you look at the rushing yard leaders, because I was trying to make a point of, like, you don't have to get this guy very high. And then it was, like, 7 of the top 10 all went in, like, the first or beginning of the second. And I was like, oh, well. But in argument with that, the majority of those teams were not going deep into the playoffs. So.
Yeah, and I do think part
Oakland was not. Tennessee was not. The Giants were not. Panthers were not. The Browns were not. The Vikings got bounced out. The Chargers got bounced out by the Jaguars. So when you're looking at all of these the running backs that were at the top, they weren't going
Yeah, and like I think something else to look at too is, like, when you pick a running back in the first round, you are telling everyone, like, hey, like, this guy is good. We think he's good, and we're going to use him because we think he's good.
Yeah.
So, like, if you have a player that's a running back that's very talented, you're going to use them a lot.
Yeah.
And, like, in the NFL today, like, yeah, they're going to have good stats, but did the Titans do anything the last few years?
Yeah.
Yeah, they got to an AFC Championship game and lost to the Chiefs. Congratulations, yeah. You know? But, like, is that really going to be what you want to do as a franchise? Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, and I mean, obviously, I'm going back and forth because I've just – myself yesterday, argued
you were
both
very
sides.
On Bijan.
I like Bijan. Yeah. I'm in the boat where I would not be mad if we drafted Bijan Robinson, because I was now went into a rabbit hole of holy crap.
He's
and
so
talking
good.
To this guy, he seems like a fantastic person, and I love fantastic people. And so that obviously starts to sway me. Do I think we have needs greater than running back? Yes. Mm-hmm. And so that's where my mind kind of is. I wouldn't be mad because I do think he would immediately help this football team.
I mean, he's a good
and the offense
player.
Be better.
Yeah.
But do I think that we have greater needs? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the defensive line has to be addressed at some point. And can you get some, you know, some edge guys and some interior guys a little later? I just want either a defensive line or offensive line, like, stud that I know is going to come in here, and you're either protecting Justin Fields and you're going to make a world of difference on that offensive line, or you're wreaking havoc on the defensive line and getting to the quarterback, because we didn't see either of those things happen last
year.
Yeah,
and I think something else that is important to remind Bears fans is, like, this team at the beginning of this offseason pretty much had a hole everywhere with the exception of quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could pretty much argue that. I mean, maybe the defensive backs were good, but other than that, it's very bare.
Yeah.
So the expectation that all of these problems are going to be solved in one offseason isn't incredibly realistic, mm-hmm. because, like, yeah, you can do it, but is it the smart way to do it? No.
No.
Next offseason, we're going to have 2 first-round draft picks.
Yeah.
We're going to have more cap space, because I'm assuming we're not going to use all of it.
Yeah.
So, like, there could be that future, you know, stud defender right there.
Yeah.
It might not happen this offseason, though, which is not fun, but it's part of building a team.
And that's when you just get guys that can help. And that's what the Jags did last season, and we've talked about this before, the parallels between the two. Because the Jags didn't go, like, get a guy that everybody was clamoring over in the NFL, but they got guys who made a difference, and they got Foye Oluokun, and they got Foye Fadakasi, and they got Arden Key, who just got a deal now going to the Titans. But those 3 guys made a difference, and they weren't names that everyone last offseason was like, oh my gosh, you've got to sign Daron Payne. Like, it wasn't one of those guys. It mm-hmm. was just people that they saw that can make a difference, and they did. They added Brandon Scherff on the offensive line. Offensive line majorly produced by adding 1 guy. So adding Nate Davis, maybe that is just enough to get us to that next level, and especially if you end up drafting somebody who's a little more help too. Someone played a prank on Twitter today and was like, the Bears re-signed Sam Mustipha. Did you see that tweet?
I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, my gosh. I had a panic because it was just like a graphic, like a nicely done graphic, and it was like, Bears extend Sam Mustipha 3 years, blah, blah, blah. But then, like, when you start reading the details, it was like he was ESPN's highest rated player in week 3. I was like, oh, gosh, you scared me.
I know this is more of a running back episode, but I think I was looking at someone on Twitter the other day, and someone had predicted our starting center for, as of right now, being next year, is Doug Kramer, who has not played a snap in the NFL yet. So
that's what I was saying. We have some guys last year that we drafted and we didn't even get to see.
But that's another thing, too. It's just like, that shows, like, we need to address that, because Doug Kramer should not be our answer right now. He could be an answer, but is he our answer? Probably not. So.
Yeah, I glance on Twitter, and Brandon Marshall's talking about if he's impressed by the Bears' offseason. He said it's going to be a phenomenal year for the Chicago Bears. Words out of Brandon Marshall's mouth.
Well, we need
mouth.
DJ Moore to break all his records. So.
Yeah, sorry, B. Marsh. Anyways, that is today's episode of Making Monsters. We will continue these fun podcast series of potential 9 picks. So we have a ton of guys. I think we're going over like 10 guys. So if they end up picking a guy that's not in this 10, that's going to be very interesting, because they're going
around. It'll be just our luck, you know. We're going to get, who knows, someone random that we had no idea they'd be in.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So
we dropped a corner, knowing our luck. It'll be Devin Witherspoon.
That's
or something.
Why I skipped the corners because I don't want to do that at 9. And maybe I should just do a couple episodes on Christian Gonzalez, and Devon Witherspoon. But I just don't want to. Yeah. I just don't think that's the way to go. But anyways, we will chat with you later. I'm Taylor Dahl. That's Dylan Ryan, and we are Making Monsters.